Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem He. And we begin about 15 lines down from the top with the boy Minei Reish Lakish by Rav Yochanan. In the previous Gemara, we had discussed the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai throughout Shas. And his Shita is that there is no concept of Muktzeh except on the very, very rare situations. So now we're going to question that. What are some of these situations that Rabbi Shimon really holds that there is Muktzeh from? So, boy minei Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish deish Rav Yochanan the following question. Chitim shezaron bikarka. If a person planted seeds of wheat into the ground. Now, the Mefarshim bring down, you can see this in the Me'iri, that it wasn't covered up by dirt. They just put the seeds into the ground. Otherwise, you'd have a problem of muktzah. How would you go and dig out the seeds? So, we're going to be talking about seeds that were just placed into the ground, but when you're putting seeds into the ground, you're in your mind putting them out of commission. You're not planning on eating those seeds. You're putting them into the ground to seed the crop. So this is the question Reish Lakish to answer of Yochanan. If a person placed seeds into the ground before Shabbos, or beitzim shetachas tarnagolas, or he put eggs underneath the chicken in order for those eggs to be hatched. In other words, he's not going to use them as eggs to be eaten. Mahu. So is he allowed to have these foods on Shabbos? In other words, are these muktzah or not? If he says, I changed my mind, I want to go take it out in the middle of Shabbos, if he thought about it before Shabbos, it would be okay. And now in the middle of Shabbos, he says, I think I'd like to have that seed in the ground or that egg that's underneath the chicken. Mahu. Is it considered muktzah or not? So Rav Shimon doesn't hold for muktzah. So kiles leil Rabbi Shimon muktzah. When Rabbi Shimon says that there is no concept of muktzah and something, even if it was muktzah during the Bein Hashmashos period of time, he doesn't hold that it's muktzah the rest of Shabbos. He says if you want it, it's not muktzah. So maybe he only holds that hecha delo dechaya biyodayim. That's when you didn't do something to it with your hands. You didn't make it quote muktzah. However, hecha de dechaya biyodayim isli muktzah. But maybe Rabbi Shimon holds here this guy intentionally put it out of commission. He said, I'm placing the seed in the ground. I'm putting this egg underneath the chicken. In other words, I am hereby declaring that they are muktzah, that I don't want them. Maybe in this situation, even Rabbi Shimon holds for muktzah. Or not, Odilma Loshna. No, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold for muktzah. What difference does it make whether he himself made it, so to say, muktzah, he himself took it out of commission, or whether on its own, it went out of commission because it was a candle, and normally candles aren't used. But now if you want to use the candle, the lamp, you're allowed to go and use it. So that's the question. How far does Rabbi Shimon go in declaring that there is no concept of muktzah? So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan answers back to Reish Lakish, Ein muktzah, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold for muktzah. The only thing he says is muktzah, elo shemen shebener bishar shehu dolek. He says, only time you have muktzah, according to Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't hold for muktzah, machlas mius, and he doesn't hold for muktzah in any other situation, as we talked about the last couple of days, except in the situation where the candle was lit for Shabbos, that's the Shabbos lich, that's the candles that were lit Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, while they're lit, bishar shehu dolek. Why? In that situation, he says it's muktzah, only while it's lit. It's set aside for the mitzvah over here, and we see on the side the Tosfos Yeshanim adds the vav v'huktzah le'isuro. In other words, he had both of these two characteristics. Rashi says over here, ho'v'huktzah le'mitzvah le'shabbos. It was set for the Shabbos candles. That's the Shabbos lech. And the Tosfos Yeshanim says the two are connected. You need both huktzah le'isuro. That it's Iser Kibri, Rashi says, and if you move it, you may come to extinguish it. So because of these two factors, you need both of these factors, the candle is muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon, while it's lit. But once it goes out, then you can use the candle, not a problem, or any oil that's left behind. There's no concept of muktzah. That's Rav Yochanan's answer to Reish Lakish. So in other words, in the situation over here, that he did it with his hand, he put the seed into the ground, that's not considered muktzah. So the Gemara questions and says, well, lesle huktzah l'mitzvaso, this seemed to imply that you need both. You need hoel v'huktzah l'mitzvaso and v'huktzah l'isuro. That implies that if you just have huktzah l'mitzvaso, that would not be enough to make it muktzah according to Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara questions that. For Tanya, we learned in a brisa early in the Masechta, sichicha kihilchasa, if a person made a kasher sukkah, and he has the schach up on the top of it, and now he has a kasher sukkah. The itra bikramim, he crowned it. Itra means he adorned it with kramim. Rashi says over here, kramim are big day tzivonim, colored garments of some sort. So he puts tapestries up in his sukkah, or besadinin hametsuyarin, or he puts up some other types of cloths over here, curtains that are beautifully decorated curtains. They have tziurin on them, they have forms on them, they're embroidered in some sort of a way. Or, v'tola bo egozim, he hung up in his sukkah over here, egozim, those are walnuts, afarsikin, those are peaches, Rashi explains over here, pirsike, which are peaches, and shikedim, almonds, v'rimonim, and pomegranates. He's hung up this real food in his sukkah to use in his noi sukkah, the decorations of the sukkah. Now, these are still edible foods. He takes out a bunch of grapes, clusters of grapes over here. He hangs them up. He takes out crowns over here of sheets of wheat. And he takes yenos, shmonim, and silsos. Rashi explains over here, you can't just hang these up themselves. They're in glass jars, b'klei zchuchas. So he has some wine and some oils and some flour in these glass jars that are hanging from his sukkah. They're all noi sukkah, the decorations of the sukkah. Now, they're set as decorations of the sukkah, but they're still edible food. So the halacha is in this braisa, also listapik mehem ad motzei yontif ha'achron. You're not allowed to use them until the end of yontif. When sukkis is over, then you can use them. However, but if he made a tanai and said, I'm going to use these items over here, I'm allowing myself to use them, even though they're hanging in the sukkah, I reserve the right to use them. He was a mazmin then, he makes them non-muktzah for the mitzvah of noi sukkah, so then, hakol lefi tano, then it goes according to what he said, and he's allowed to use them. Now, this brisa doesn't have an attribution to it. We don't know who the author of this brisa is. So the Gemara says, this brisa clearly shows that if you make a tnai, then it's not muktzah. But the default position is, if it's just huktzul mitzvah, so the mitzvah of noi sukkah, of decorating your sukkah, then it is in fact muktzah and you can't use it. If this is Rabbi Shimon, so then this proves that Rabbi Shimon says huktzul mitzvah, so it alone is enough to make it muktzah. Gemara says, "Oh, me by the Rabbi Shimon. How do you know that this brisa didn't say it's Rabbi Shimon? Didn't say it's Rabbi Shimon. How do you know that this brisa is Rabbi Shimon? He now this is an authentic brisa. This is one of the brisas from Rav Chia and Rav Oshaya. So we want to specifically try to bring the raya from this brisa. So that's why the Gemara didn't go straight to the next brisa. This is how Rashi understands this. The Gemara could have just gone straight to the next brisa, which clearly says that Rabbi Shimon holds this way, but it wants to use this first brisa, this Vahatanya, which comes from Rav Chia and Rav Oshaya, which is a much more authentic brisa. In any event, the Gemara questions, we might do Rabbi Shimon, how do we know that this brisa, this authentic brisa, is in fact Rabbi Shimon's opinion? Because the Tani Rav Chia Bar Yosef, Kameh Rav Yochanan, because we have another brisa, Rav Chia Bar Yosef taught in front of Rav Yochanan, Ein notlim eitzim in asukkah. This is a brisa in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza says that you're not allowed to take eitzim in asukkah. Now this sukkah over here, Rashi tells us, is not talking about a sukkah on sukkahs. This is talking about, as Rashi says over here, the Pesach v'atzeres. The Rashi's right next to us. On Pesach, or on Shavuos. Atzeres is the way we always refer to Shavuos. It has nothing to do with Shmini Atzeres. Shavuos is an atzeres, just like Shmini Atzeres is an atzeres to sukkahs, so Shavuos is an atzeres, it's an add-on to Pesach. So when you have a hut, a booth over here, not a real sukkah, but it's a wooden structure, so he says, you're not allowed to take ein notlim eitzim in asukkah, you're not allowed to take wood from this hut for Pesach or Shavuos. The purpose of this sukkah is nothing to do with the mitzvah of sukkah, it's for shade. It's talking about even if it fell down. Mishum muktzah, because it is muktzah. This katzoy machmas stiras ohel b'yontif, because at the start of yontif, it was a full-fledged hut. It fell down on yontif, so it was muktzah, because it was not allowed to be taken down, because there's a din that you're not allowed to destroy a house, an ohel, on yontif. So this was perfectly good at the start of yontif. So that's what this brisa says. Ein notlin eitzim in asukkah. You're not allowed to take the wood from the tzuk over here beyontif on Pesach or Shavuos. Ela, however, you are allowed to take min asamuchla from something that is right next to it. In other words, wood that was nearby there. As Rashi says, im soma chavilos eitzim esel dofna, if you had some pieces of wood that were next to the walls of this sukkah, leka isa muksa. Those aren't muksa. Because the daite ilave, because he has in mind, if I need firewood, I'm going to use it. Now, yes, but before Pesach or Shavuos started, lemishkalinu, that he's going to take it lemochar on Pesach or Shavuos, when you're allowed to go heat up stuff, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to use firewood. The lo sasa bu'ala, and this doesn't involve any iser over here because it's not connected to the ohel, it's just stamped pieces of wood. And from this brisa that is brought down from Rav Chia Bar Yosef, this is what I pointed out before. Rashi says, you could have gone straight over here. So the Rav Chia Bar Yosef, he preferred to use the first brisa that we had, from early in the Masechta, because that's a more authentic brisa. Kitamrina b'alma, as we say in general, the Gemara in Chulin tells us, Komas Nisa de lo misnaya be revchia v'revoshia, isn't considered a really good brisa. So therefore, that's why we're just proving, using this second brisa to prove that the first brisa is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So this second brisa says, you're not allowed to take this wood over here from the actual booth itself on Pesach HaShavuos, because it was used for a hut, and therefore to take it apart would be destroying it, therefore it was mukta. However, from the Samach law, you're allowed to. But Rabbi Shimon is matir to even take it apart. Now, Rabbi Shimon can't be matir over here, the Isser of Stira. You're not allowed to take it apart. So Rashi explains, Rabbi Shimon is matir over here, imnofla, if it fell down, because delesle mukta. He doesn't hold that the fact that it was a hut during Yontif means anything. It fell down, so now it's firewood, and you can use it because he doesn't hold muktza. And this is what the Gemara in Beitza says, because otherwise he certainly wouldn't allow you to go and take it down. That would be a separate issue of stira. So here, Rabbi Shimon tells us he's matir. And now, we continue this brisa. So here you clearly see that Rabbi Shimon does hold over here that there is no concept of muktza over here by Pesach and Shavuos with this hut. However, Rabbi Shimon agrees with the Tanna Kamma. Vishavin, Vesukkos HaChag. Now we're talking about a real sukkah. On Sukkos, the sukkah of the Chag, Bichag, during Sukkos, Shehi Asura, that you're not allowed to go and take that wood. Even the hut fell down, and even if we're talking about a hut that was likely to fall down, so you had in mind that it was going to fall down, and that's what Tosa says, Vim Hisna Hakolafi Tano Beresh Hamevi in the Gemara, he brings down Parachalov Hokosasar Ola, how you like to take it down. So Mukilo Besukka Nefula Uberua de Miyasmo Daiti Allah. It was talking about with the sukkah is not a good looking sukkah. It's going to look like it's going to fall down, and therefore you had your mind on it that if it falls down, you're going to use it. That's what it means that you had Im Hisna La Hakolafi Tano. Now, clearly, you see that this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon holds that the sukkah on the chag is huktzul mitzvaso, and therefore, kasha, how can you tell me that he holds that you need to have both huktzul mitzvaso and vihuktzul isuro? Here you see, you just have vihuktzul mitzvaso. So Gemara answered, no. Ke'ein shemen shebiner kamrina. We're talking here, it's exactly the same situation as the oil in the lamp that you have it huktzul mitzvaso while the lamp is lit. Kamrina, that's what we're talking about. So it's set for its mitzvah, the lighting of the candle on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, and v'huktzo le'isuro. And it's also iser over here that you're not allowed to move it because you may come to extinguish it. So therefore, it's huktzo le'mitzvaso and huktzo le'isuro. So too, the same thing applies over here. This wood is huktzo le'mitzvaso all 7 days of Sukkos. And therefore, you're not allowed to use it for all the days of Sukkos. So as a discussion, we said, ad matzah yon tova achron shel chag. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, he says, sikshu Rabbeinu Tam, b'yom tova achron, d'lo osor ele mitam, migu diskatzor b'nei shmashos, mach bas yom sh'ovar. He says, but the reason it's also on the last day is only because during the b'nei shmashos of the 8th day, when it's a sveik of the yoma, that's why it was also, but that wouldn't apply then to the 9th day, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, shari, most of Hashem and Shemineir, afogad duk to b'nei shmashos, limitzvaso. He says, that's not a problem, according to Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, Tosfos answers the Nira Liri, the Lamesho Seres Habraisa Yom Tovachun Lo Asik Rav Shimon. That last part that is actually Yom Tovachun isn't going according to Rav Shimon, because technically the 9th day would be good according to Rav Shimon. But in any event, you clearly see over here that Rav Shimon says that it's Huktzul Mitzvah, the wood for the sukkah is set aside for the mitzvah of sukkah all 7 days. So therefore, it's Huktzul Mitzvah, and it's also to use it during this period of time. So you have both Huktzul Mitzvah and Huktzul Yisuro. The issue is over here that you're not allowed to go and take it away from its mitzvah that it's set aside for. So you really have both over here too, and there's no stira. And indeed, this was exactly stated over in the base medrash as well. It manami, Amr Chia Barava, Amr Yochanan, Ein Muktzah Rabbi Shimon, Ela Kein Shemen Shebiner, Bishashu Dolek. It's specifically only Muktzah while it's actually lit. Ho of a Huktzah Mitzvaso, Huktzah Lisuro. The two both go together. Mark continues and says, Amr Yud Amr Shmuel, A Muktzah Rabbi Shimon, Ela Grogros Vitzimukin Bilvat. Here we have an opinion that Rabbi Yud Amr Shmuel says that according to Rabbi Shimon, the only type of Muktzah that you have is something called Grogros Vitzimukin Bilvat. What are Grogros Vitzimukin? So Rashi brings down, Rashi's are two lines from the start of the wider lines towards the bottom of Rashi. Grogros are te'enim, they're figs. Shemala legag liyavshim, that you're bringing up to the roof. That was a common place where they used to go and dry them out to have fruit leather. You want to make it over into dried fruit. Umishinishtau sham, and when you put it up there, ma'at, even for a little bit, and ru'uyim la'achila, they're no longer edible. Achis dashu, until they totally dry out, they become fruit leather, and the same thing, v'chein tzimukim danov, and the same thing applies to grapes, to turning them into raisins. So Tosus explains even a little bit more clearly, and he says, ela b'grogers u'tzimukim, b'yushalmi mefarish semasrichim b'intayim. So they're perfectly good figs, and they're perfectly good grapes right now. But what happens when you put them up in the root, and they start to dry out, they actually get ruined initially. Semasrichim b'intayim, they spoil. The kivon shemiskalklim kokach, during this initial period of time before they're fully dried, they're actually spoiled. Eng daito lekachtom achiyitkenu heitev. Therefore, you're not going to take them down until they become fruit leather, until they become raisin, until they become dried figs. So therefore, the process is as follows. They're perfectly edible as figs and as raisins, as grapes. Then you put them up on the roof to dry, they actually become inedible. And that's why they're pure muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon, kigrogros utzmukim. And only afterwards, when they become raisins and dried figs, that's when they become edible again. So therefore, this is telling us over here, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, ein muktzah Rabbi Shimon, ela grogros utzmukim bavad. This is the classical case of muktzah. They're totally unusable. They've been put out of your mind. It's going to take them a while to dry out. So the person who put it up there has essentially pushed it out of being edible, and it's therefore in the state of grogros utzmukim to become grogros utzmukim, and therefore they're not able to be eaten, and they're therefore muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Where it says, umidiachwini lo, and nothing else, just grogros utzmukim, that's it, according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So where it says, vatanya, but there's a brice in Beitz, and it says otherwise. Hayochel b'teinim, if a person was eating teinim, the whole seer of hell and lagag lasses men grows, and then this person says, I had enough teinim there. Now I'm going to go bring them up to the roof and make them into dried figs, and therefore it's going to become inedible for a while. Okay, banovim, same thing, he's eating from the grapes. The key thing over here is he's eating from them. Hoya ochel, that we'll see is the chiddush over here, that he's actually eating from them still, when they're teinim and when they're anovim. And then vahosir, he left over some, the hell and lagag lasses men tzukim, and he's making them into raisins. So the Tanakhama says over here, lo yochal ad shiyazmin, these are still considered muktzah over here, they are muktzah, unless he's mazman, he says, maybe I want to still have them, even though they're really not very tasty, there's masriach, but if he says, I wish to retain the right to eat them, then they're not muktzah. V'chein ato omer b'afarsikin, and the same thing is said about these peaches, the afarsikin, the chavushin, chavushin, Rashi translates over here as quince, he says quince, that's the foreign language term, that's the chavushin. U'bishar komine peris, and any other fruit that you're drawing out, and that is the same halacha. So these other fruits, the peaches, the quinces, and other fruits that you're drawing out, have the same halacha as the grogers and simukin. Now, who are we talking is the author of this brisa? Money. Now, Ilay Mar Rav Yehuda, if this is Rav Yehuda, so of course Rav Yehuda says he holds it they're all muktzah. Ma hechad lo dachi b'yadayim, islay muktzah, hechad dachi b'yadayim lo kol shekein. He says even if they on their own are muktzah, because they're inedible or they're not usable, so they become muktzah. So Allah has come of a comment. If you set it aside, you're the one that made a muktzah, according to Rav Yehuda, of course it's muktzah. So there's no chiddush over here to tell me this is Rav Yehuda. Ella, the Chiddush is, Ella Lav, Rabbi Shimon, he, isn't this then Rabbi Shimon? And we see that it's not only Grogers and Smukim, it's these other fruits as well. Gemara says, no, that's incorrect. Li'olam, Rabbi Yehuda. This, in fact, is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Ochel Itzrichel, as I accented, I pointed out, Hoya Ochel B'teinim, Hoya Ochel B'anovim. I might have thought in this situation, so could I tech aminoch, kiven de ka'ochil, the ozil, since you're still eating them. Therefore, lowly boy hasmana, in this situation, it's as if you have de facto said that they're not muktzah. Kamash malon, in this situation, kivan de hell on the gag, since you did bring them up to the gag, even though you're still eating from them, asuche asche ledaite minayu, it's as if you're tacitly saying, I give up, I don't want them, unless I specifically retain the right by saying I'm mazmin them still at this point in time. So therefore, this brice is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds that all of these things are muktzah, but Rabbi Shimon only holds by grogros utzmukim. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold over here that the other shar mine peros, the farsikin and the chavushin, are in fact going to be muktzah. Now we have one more question. Boy mine Rabbi Shimon, bar Rabbi mi Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon, who is not Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, not Stam Rabbi Shimon over here. This is Rabbi Shimon, who is the son of Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And he asked from his father, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, asked from his father the following shaila. We turn to Domit Beis. Patzile Tamra. What are Patzile Tamra? We have two definitions over here. So Rashi tells us over here, these Patzile Tamra are tumorim. There are over here, dates, hanilkotim kodem bishulim, that they're picked from the trees before they become fully ripened, and then you let them ripen in a basket. Bekonsin also besalim shosim milulovin, you put it into a wicker basket, it's made from like the palm fronds, and you put these unripened dates in these baskets, vein misbashlos mealein, and they on their own become ripened. And he's asking, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, is asking his father, Rabbi, mahu lechol mehen kodem bishulim. Are they still considered not muktzah? Could you eat them on Shabbos before they fully become ripened? Do we say over here, mimodem de muktzos hein ki grogros v'tzimukin alo? Do we treat these the same way that we would treat the grogros and smukin while they're drying out on the rooftop and becoming dried figs and raisins, that they're, even according to Rabbi Shimon, considered muktzah? Or do we say, no, these over here, these tamarim in the basket, are not like those that are on the rooftop. They're not like grogros and simukim. That's the question. Now, he asked this to his father over here, and that implies that his father holds like Rabbi Shimon. This is a question that's being asked within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So he's asking to his father, and he says, mahu. What is the halacha over here, Rabbi Shimon mahu? Is this, in fact, something that Rabbi Shimon would also say? Now, here we're talking about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Tana, Rabbi Shimon, the Tana who doesn't know from Muktzah. So Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, is asking about the sheet of the Tana, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, what would his sheet be for these Patz'ilei Tamra? That's the pshat that Rashi has. If you notice the little aleph there, it tells you to look all the way at the bottom, and then Tosfos Yishonim tells us, Enonira L'ri, Piris there. The Ri doesn't like this explanation that Rashi has, because he says, Ze lo dome le grogros etzmukim. It's not the same thing as grogros etzmukim, the lo dochim yadayim, because he didn't do anything over here. These are unripe dates that are in the basket. He didn't do something. And therefore, Tosfos Yishonim says, V'nira li kepirusha oruch. He likes the explanation that the oruch gives, that these patzilei tamra are as follows. Shepirush patzilei tamra loshon mefatzeya. It means that you're smashing them. Shemefatzim tamarim. You're breaking, you're taking a hammer and you're hitting these tamarim, these dates over here, kidei lizbashel, in order that they should cook better. Ulis yavish, and then dry out. Ubishas hapzia, and when you're breaking them, miskalkeles, Marisa, they no longer are looking good. The achazman mishtapchos, but only later on they become better. The dame le grogos tzvukim, that's like the grogos tzvukim, that they're not really edible until they're fully dried. So too, these smashed dates over here aren't really edible until they become fully dried. So he says, the difference between this and the patzilei tamra and the grogos tzvukim, he says, actually grogos tzvukim miskalkelos yosem mehem. They're more ruined than the smashed date over here. In any event, either like Rashi or like the Tosfos Yishonim, this is the question that Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, asked about the sheet of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Tana Rabbi Shimon, mahu. What is this halacha? Are these like grogros utsmukim or not? Which again implies, Rashi says over here, in Dibra Maskel, v'Rebbe lesle muktzah, the kosal chetaycha, mi deboy minei, from the fact that his son asked him his opinion, aliba the Rabbi Shimon, Alma habishmile meyavua ki Rabbi Shimon sirile. He must have assumed that his father holds like Rabbi Shimon. So that's where the whole question gets off the ground. So he asks his father, what's the halacha? Amalei, Rebbe tells his son, Rabbi Shimon, ain muktzah Rabbi Shimon, el grogos tzvukim bilvad. No, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that these patzilei tamra are muktzah, only grogos tzvukim. They're a higher level of put out of your mind than are the patzilei tamra. As the Tosfos Yishonim said very clearly, they're not as far gone, they're not as basriach as the grogos tzvukim. Therefore, the Gemara says, "V'Rebbe lesle muktzah." Rebbe holds like Rebbe Shimon. Is that true? He doesn't look like Rebbe Yehuda. But we learned in the Mishnah later in the Masechta. Now, this is talking about they would go. Rashi says over here, and they would water an animal before they checked it, so the skin would be easier to flay. So he says, "Ein mashkin v'shochetin as a midbarios." You're not allowed to go and give water to and then shech these animals that are known as midbarios. They go out into the wild. Okay. Avol mashkin v'shokten is a baisos, but you can go and water and shecht the on yontif the baisos, the ones that are more domesticated. Now, how do we define midbarios and baisos? But Tanya, the Bryson Beitza explains elu and midbarios. The following is the definition of the Tanakama of midbarios, the wild ones that you can't go and shecht on yontif because they're not prepared. The definition of that is kosher yotzos be Pesach. They go out already during the months of Pesach, the time of Pesach. V'nichnasos be Reviyah, and they only come back in during the Reviyah. That's the first rains, which are in Mar Cheshvon. So they're out pasturing for months on their own without coming back to the house. Therefore, they're not considered prepared. Baisos, the ones that are more domesticated, koshiotzos, rose, chutz l'tchum, they do go pasture far away from the corral, outside the tchum. However, ubos, v'lonos, besochetum, but they come back every night, and they go back into their corral. They go back into their, closer to home, within the tchum of the place where they are. And therefore, those are considered muchan, and therefore you can shech them on yontif. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. And along comes Rebbe Omer, Eluv Elu Baisos, hey, no! Even the group that goes out from Pesach until Mar Cheshvan, those are considered domesticated ones, they're prepared. What's the definition of the wild ones? Ve'elam et barios, the ones that are not considered prepared, they're out in the wild. Kol shiroos ba'afar, that they're pasturing out in the fields, way out in the forests. Ve'ein nichnosus li'yishuv lo bimosecham lo yizagushom. They never come back. They're all the way out there. Now, what do you clearly see? Rebbe holds that they're muktza. Rebbe also holds that they're midbarios and muktza. Now, if it's holding like Rabbi Shimon, it's only Grogers and Smokin. So, Kasha, how can you tell me that Rebbe holds like Rabbi Shimon? You clearly see that Rebbe holds like Rabbi Yehuda. That's the question. We'll give three terutzim. First terutz is as follows. So this first terutz is simple. This is exactly like Grogers and Smokin. He holds like Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Shimon would also agree that the Midbarios are so out of your mind, they're so unusable, that they're like the Grogers and Smokin, and therefore, even Rabbi Shimon would say that the Midbarios are no good. The ones that never come back to pasture at all, they're considered like Grogers and Smukim. So that's teretz number one. He does sound like Rabbi Shimon because he's saying that the Midbarios, even Rabbi Shimon would say, are like the Grogers and Smukim. Teretz number one. Ki Grogers and Smukim Damian. Teretz number two. V'bayi seymo l'dvar v'Rabbi Shimon kamalei. He's saying his opinion according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. But personally, v'lei lo sfirlei. He doesn't hold like that. He holds over here, like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he holds a muktza. And he's just saying, according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, he wouldn't agree with the Tanakama's definition of what the Midbarios are. He says, no, the Midbarios are the ones that never come back at all. But he's saying it only within sheet of Rabbi Shimon, but lei lo sfirlei. He personally doesn't hold like that. That's teretz number two. Teretz number three, v'yibayi saying ma l'divreim d'rabbanon kamalu. He's saying, according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, l'didi lesli muktza klal. I hold, like Rabbi Shimon, I hold only Grogers and Tzmukim, and none of this applies to me. However, l'didchu, but according to you, don't say that the Midbarios are the ones that go out from Pesach until Mar Cheshvan. No, those are Baisos. Oduli mias, the hecha, the yotzos, the Pesach, the sasa, the ria, the Baisos ninu. Admit to me, at least, that you agree that those are Baisos, and everyone agree that they're not Muktza. And the Rabbanon are Mulei, and the Rabbanon have responded to him, lo, Midbarios ninu. No, the Rabbanon are arguing with him that those are considered Midbarios. But personally, Rebbe holds like Rebbe Shimon, and none of them would be muktza. Fine, those are the three terusim over here. Now we go weiter. We're going to try to figure out what is the opinion of the great Amora of Yochanan. He was the head of Eretz Yisrael. So what was his opinion in regards to this famous machlokes of Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Yehuda? Does he hold Islay muktza like Rabbi Yehuda, or these old Leslie muktza like Rabbi Shimon? So I'm a Rabbi Berbachana. Rabbi Berbachana said over in the name of Yochanan, Amor of Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan held Amru. Rashi explains Amru in the yeshiva, the Neiah yeshiva. They held halacha ki Rabbi Shimon, that the psak came down that we pass like Rabbi Shimon that Leslie muktza. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that that's the psak. More questions this. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi? Did Rabbi Yochanan really hold that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Oh boy, minay how sabo Keruya. There once was an old man who came from a place called Keruya. Others say Ramilei Seruya. He came from a place called Seruya, and he asked me, Rabbi Yochanan, the following shaila: Kina shel tarnegoles. If you have a chicken coop over here, a kina is like a nest. It means a coop over here. That's a portable mobile coop that chickens using. Mahu l'tiltule b'Shabbos. Can you move this on Shabbos? In other words, is this considered muktza or is it not considered muktza? And how did Rabbi Yochanan respond? What other purposes a chicken coop have other than for the usage of chickens? And the chickens themselves are muktza, and therefore this chicken coop is going to be muktza. You can't move it on Shabbos. Now that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. How can you tell me, therefore, the Rabbah by Brachani is saying that Rabbi Yochanan held that the halach is like Rabbi Shimon? Here you clearly see that he holds that the halach is that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. More answers, no, that's easy to tear it up. Hach Mayaskin, you know what we're talking about? This chicken coop wasn't just a plain chicken coop. The Isbe Efroach Mace. It has a dead chick inside of it. Rashi explains over here in the Dibra Maslu, the Isbe of Roch Meis, the Lochazi Lemecha, that you can't eat a dead chicken because it wasn't shechted. Give it to your dogs. Uluklovim Nami Lochazi, you can't give it to your dogs as well. Why? Because even if he holds, like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no concept of Muktzah, so why can't he give it to his dogs? You're allowed to chop up a Nevela and give it to your dogs, so why can't he give this dead chicken over here, this dead Ephrog, this little chick, to his dogs? Hanimili b'misukenes. That was only when it looked like it was going to die before Yontif. Avo Berea, if it's healthy, lo, he doesn't want to get rid of it because the lo havi daitem yesmo l'klovim, because he wasn't planning on giving this $20 chick to his dogs. He'll give the dogs the $2 nevela. He doesn't want to give him a $20 chicken. V'hai efroch shemes b'shabes, nami lo havi daitem yesmo l'klovim. And since it died suddenly, it wasn't sick, so therefore it's not considered muchan. And therefore, in this situation, even Rabbi Shimon says, the isbe efroch meis, it is muktzah. So Rabbi Yochanan could hold like Rabbi Shimon, because this situation of the isbe efroch meis, so that is similar in a way to Grogris and Simukin. Gemara says, that's great if you hold like that. Hanich lamar bar ameimar mishmei, the rav is the gear that we have, but it says on the side should be the rava. The amar moda Rabbi Shimon b'bali chayim shemesu shasurim. That's great if you hold the Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Tana Rabbi Shimon holds that an Ephroch Shemes, or an animal that's dead, and it wasn't expected to be dead, so this is Muktzah, so this is like Grogris and Simukin. Oh, very good. That works out great. So Rabbi Yochanan could hold like Rabbi Shimon, because this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. El Lamar Bered Rav Yosef, who argues with him, Mishmei the Rav. That's why the Gersa makes more sense that it was Rav before, not Rav. Domar Cholukah Rabbi Shimon, Afilu B'Bali Chaim Shemesu, Shei Mutarim, that he holds, even if they're dead, that Rabbi Shimon says, it's not muktzah, and you can give it to your dogs. So then, Ma'ik Lameima, then what are you going to say over here? Why is it no good? As Rashi points out over here, Hanicha, the Amar Modai Rabbi Shimon, the Avol Gav Dama Mechatkin and Nevelav Neaklovim, Hanimil Mesukenis, the Dai Tila, it's only for the one that was sick, Meyasmol, the Klovim. Avol Modu Bavali Chaim, he agrees that Bavali Chaim, that were healthy, Kamalam Babariim, Shemesu suddenly, Shasurit, they would be Osir. Oh, that first opinion, that works out very, the Rabbi Shimon holds over here, Lochazi Leklovim. But Ma'ikel Meim, according to the second pisan, Hochazi Leklovim, it's perfectly good to give it to the dogs. So why would this not be over here a situation where it's not muktzah? So why is the chicken coop over here going to be usher? Because it has a dead chicken inside. It's not muktzah. Shmuel says, Taki, you're right. Hochamai Eskinan, it's not talking about a dead chicken inside, not talking about Ephroch Meis. You know what we're talking about? Hochamai Eskinan, the Isbe Beitza. It has an egg inside of it over here. Rashi explains, Shenol Dayom. It was just born today. It's Nolad. Rabbi Shimon ben Nolad, and most opinions hold that Rabbi Shimon says that Nolad is a unique type of muktzah. It came into existence only on Shabbos, and therefore it is muktzah even according to Rabbi Shimon. It's like Grogers and Simukin. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yochanan says over here, you can't move this chicken coop because it has a new egg inside of it. There was Nolad, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan could say that this is according to Rabbi Shimon, and he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Where it says, that's great, again, if you hold like this opinion. But there's another opinion that disagrees. V'am Reb Nachman, man di isle muktzo isle nolad, de lesle muktzo lesle nolad. There is this opinion of Reb Nachman that says, no. Rabbi Shimon says that nolad is no different than any other muktzo. And therefore, if you hold muktzo, you hold nolad. But if you don't hold muktzo, you don't hold nolad. And therefore, it wouldn't help us that we have an egg inside over here that was nolad, because Rabbi Shimon still would say it's not muktzah. So obviously, this Brisa can't be talking about Rabbi Shimon, because he would let you move the chicken coop. So it must be Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we have the stira. Rabbi Yochanan is passing over here like Rabbi Yehuda and not like Rabbi Shimon. Where it says, no, we have another teretz. This bay beitzas efroach. It has an egg that has a chicken inside of it. So it has an unhatched egg inside of it. And this is going to be muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Why is that? Rashi explains, Rashi's right next to us. V'kelev lo achilo mishum klipa. A dog will not eat this because of the shell. And therefore, the dog can't eat this because of the shell. I'm not sure exactly why, and that, in fact, is the kasha over here of the Tosfos Yeshanim. It says, kasha, they have shalahasir klipa. Why can't you get rid of the klipa? V'yochlan akelev, and then the dog will eat it. So the Tosfos Yeshanim on the other side by Tosfos says that maybe we're talking about here, it's Muktzu Machmas Chisorin Kiss. The Tosfos Yeshanim says that you know why he's not going to give it to his dog, because it's worth $25 as a chick that's going to be laid, and it's worth a 50 cents to give it to your dog for lunch. So therefore, that's why you don't give it to your dog. And that's why if there's an Beitz Asef Roach inside, even Rabbi Shimon would say it's Muktza, either because the dog can't eat it, or because you don't want to give it to your dog because of Chisaron Kiss, the loss of money. Fine, that's the teretz that we give. Therefore, there's no stira in Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan could hold like Rabbi Shimon, even though we have this brice over here that seems to suggest that the chicken coop is Muktza, but it's only talking about a chicken coop that has a Beitz Asef Roach inside of it. Now, another opinion of Rav Yochanan. He also, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, when Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, oh, the name of Rav Yochanan, halachi Rav Yehuda. Oh, here he says, beferish, no, the Rav Yehuda is the way that Rav Yochanan holds, not like Rabbi Shimon. Right, what are we going to do with the Amru that we said before? We'll get to that. Rabbi Barachana's Amru, we'll get to that in a moment. And it's Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Omar halachi Rav Shimon. And it's the opinion of Yeshua ben Levi, he's a bar pluk of Rav Yochanan, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. And along comes Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now comes along and tells us, "Hainu di Amar Rabba by Rechan Amar Yeshua, Amru Halachi Rabbi Shimon, Amru Velelo Sirule." Now we understand it, that when Rav Yochanan said, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that in the Bnei Yeshiva, they said that the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't hold like that, Velelo Sirule, because he personally holds, as we just saw now, that they came from Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef said in the name of Yochanan that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But we have to explain when he said Amru, so the Amru was, that was the opinion of the Bnei Yeshiva, but not Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So that's what Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef tells us. Now, Rabbi Yosef then commented on that and he says, now I understand the original first statement that we had from Rabbi bar Rechana. I'm like Abaye Rabbi Yosef, so Abaye questions Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef is his Rebbe. Abaye asks his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, Ba'atlo Tizbra, and you don't hold the Rabbi Yochanan Krav Yehuda, you don't. Without this, you wouldn't have known that Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yehuda. You needed Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef to tell us this. But ha, Rav Abba Rav Asi, these two Amoraim, Rav Abba Rav Asi, iklu lebei Rav Abba, the min Chaifa, they went to Rav Abba from Chaifa, the nafal minoroso al glime, and a metal candle holder, a candlestick, fell on top of the garment, and the Rav Asi, on the garment of Rav Asi, velo tiltala, and neither of them moved it. Now, that's because they held that it's muktzah. Now, my timer, that why didn't they move it? La mishum de Rav Asi, tamid de Rav Yochanan, hava? Isn't it because Rav Asi was one of the star pupils of Rav Yochanan? Although Tosfos points out that another Rav Asi was also star pupil of Rav. So he says there are two Rav Asis over here. So this is the Rav Asi who goes along with Rav Ami all the time. They came from Eretz Yisrael. They were pupils of Rav Yochanan. So mistama, the reason why Rav Asi didn't move this menorah, because he was a talmud of Rav Yochanan, hava, the Rav Yochanan could be Yehuda Svirulei. So therefore, why did you need Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef to tell us this? Didn't you know this from the story of Rav Asi in the menorah? So Amalei told him, no. Rav Yosef responded back to Abaye, if that was the only source, he wouldn't know it. Amalei, menorasa kamis? You're telling me from the menorah? That's how I should have known it? Menorasa shiny. This metal menorah is different. Why is that? The Omer Rav Acha bar Chanina, Rav Asi. Because Rav Acha bar Chanina said the name Rav Asi. Horer Reish Lakish bit Sidon, Reish Lakish Paskin in Sidon, that's the name of a city, Tyre, Menorah Hanitelis Biyodo. If you can pick up this menorah, this candlestick in your hand, with a single hand, Achas Biyodo Achas, Muta Lataltala, then you're allowed to move it, it's not Muktza. However, Bishtei Yadav also Lataltala, but if you need to pick it up with two hands, in other words, it's permanently placed down there, and you have to really pick it up with two hands, then you can't move it. So you see, it has nothing to do with this concept of muktza that we've been discussing, and that if that was the only proof over there that he didn't pick up the menorah, it has nothing to do with the machlokas of Shimon and Rav Yehuda. It has to do with whether he placed it down. So that's the opinion of Reish Lakish, that if you can pick it up with one hand, it's not muktza. If you have to pick it up with two hands, it's because it's placed down securely over there, and then it's also letaltel. And Rav Yochanan said, Amar, Anu ein lanu ela b'ner k'Rabbi Shimon. We only paskin like Rabbi Shimon in regards to muktza machmas mius, that he doesn't hold that an old earthenware candle is muktza. Even though it's disgusting, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold like that, and in that respect, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Avo menorah, but a metal menorah, bein nitla b'yodo achas, bein nitla b'shtei yodov, is also l'taltula. But even if it's held with one hand or with two hands, you're not allowed to move it. Why? The taima mai. What's the reasoning over here? So Rabbi Rav Yosef, Dami Tavayu, they both told us the reason is as follows. Hol v'odim koveh lamokum. As I said, it's set in its place over here. This metal candlestick over here is set in its place, and that's why you can't move it. So then how come Rish Lakish says you can move it? So they're arguing about whether even a light candlestick is also set in its place. So Rish Lakish says a light candlestick is not set in its place. Rav Yochanan says a heavy candlestick and a light candlestick are both set in their place. So therefore, you couldn't bring me a raya, Rav Yossi says, to Abaye from that story, because it has nothing to do with the machlokis of Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Abaye is not happy with that. Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef. Abaye says, wait a second, Rabbi. V'hari kilas chasanim. A kilas chasanim is like a pup tent. This is a tent that you have a very narrow, less than one tefach roof to it, and the sides slant down. So this is called the kilas chasanim. So Abaye tells Rav Yosef, "Hare kilas chasanim, the adam kovel lo makom, which is put down in its place, it's set in its place, and yet the Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rav Chiya, Shmuel said in Rav Chiya, the kilas chasanim mutter." We turn to the Amar Aleph. You're allowed to go and move it. And you can take it apart and move it on Shabbos. So therefore, even though it's set in its place, you see that that's not the reason. So therefore, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, you're misunderstanding this machlokis of Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. And in fact, it is the machlokis that I said. So why isn't the menorah over here going to be a good raya? So Gemara says, El Omer Abaye, you know what the menorah case was? Again, it's not the machlokis of Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The menorah is different. El Amar Abaye, B'shol Chulyos. We're talking here about a sectional menorah. It's made up of pieces over here. Now, if it's made up of pieces, that's why you're not allowed to move it, because we're concerned, as Rashi says, B'shol Chulyos, the menorah shall prokim. It's made up of sectional pieces. Shema Tipol, it's going to fall down, V'tisparik, and it's going to break apart, V'yachsirena, and you're going to put it back together, V'nim so'osikli. That's why you're not allowed to move the menorah. It has nothing to do with the machlokis of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Shel Chuyus. So Gemara says, Ihachiv, that's true. My time with Rabbi Shimon and Lakish, Dishari. Then why did Reish Lakish say you're allowed to go and move it? That seems to be a valid gezeira, that you're afraid it's going to fall apart, and you're going to put it back together. So how does he let you move a small one? So Gemara says, no, you're misunderstanding. My Chuyus, what does it mean sectional over here? Ke'ein Chuyus. It's not really in sections, it has grooves in it. And therefore, it looks like it's a sectional one, and people who see you will think that you're allowed to move one with sections. So this is a gzeira over here, that you can't even move the ones with grooves, because people will think that you're allowed to then move the ones with sections, and that's not allowed. The isbe chitke, ke'en chois, it's like it has sections, it has these marks, these grooves in it. And therefore, what's the machlokes of Shimon ben Lakish and Rav Yochanan? Hilkach. Chulyos, if it's really a sectional piece, ben gedola ben ketana, asur l'taltala. Everybody agrees you can't go and move a sectional piece because it's going to fall apart and you're going to put it back together, and that would be an issa d'oraisa. Gedola, nami di'is bechitke, and a large candelabra, this large metal candelabra over here that has chitke, that has grooves in it, that looks very much like a sectional one. And therefore, gezeira atu gedola de chulyos. That's why they didn't let you move the grooved one that wasn't really sectional, because it looks too much like the sectional one. That's only true for the large ones. Ki pligi biktana. Everybody agrees by the large one. That's why you can't move the large one, even though it's not sectional, even though it only has grooves in it. But Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan are arguing biktana, this ispe chitke, the small one that has these grooves in it. Mar sovar gazrinan. Rav Yochanan says, no, we make the gzera even for the small ones, because they look like the large ones, and therefore people are going to come do it. And the other opinion is that we don't make this gzeira. That's Reish Lakish's opinion, and therefore there is no gzeira over here. That's exactly what Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are talking about, and therefore, from the case of the menorah, we wouldn't have known anything. And therefore, that's why we needed Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef to come and tell us this is the reconciliation of Rav Yochanan. He holds like Rav Yehuda, and when he said Amru, that was only in the base medrash. They held like Rabbi Shimon, but Leslie Svirula, he doesn't hold like that. I forgot to mention, I mentioned the other day, today we learned the shir, Lili Nismash Grace Rosenzweig, Gitulea Bas Aryeh. May her neshama and all the neshamas we learned for have an aliyah. That concludes today's shir.